John Hassler is a celebrated and best-selling Minnesota author who passed away a few years ago. One of his great friends, Joseph Plutt, has published a book of conversations between the two of them. They talk about the writing process, some of the ideas within his novels, and how John Hassler came to them. Recently, Joseph Plutt was in the studios of Northern Community Radio, and we had a chance to talk with him about his friendship with John and what he thinks John's writing sort of means in today's world. We started talking about one of the most enduring characters that shows up in many of the novels, Miles Pruitt.
Miles Pruitt, and the memory of Miles Pruitt is often recollected by Agatha McGee, who was Miles' landlady. And I think Miles is very much John. He used it. So I said, how autobiographical is Miles Pruitt? And he said, I said before that my fiction is 37% autobiographical. And then I'll just like to interject from a question from Grand Opening. And then I had said in reply to questions about how much of your novels is autobiographical, you often respond exactly 37%. However, I believe that the percentage is substantially higher for Grand Opening. And John said, I think you're right, Joe. And maybe up to 38%. So then he says, I think Miles is 37% me. That is about one third of him. It's like me, and about one third of his experience is mine. Two thirds are made up. And I think this is interesting because he's very surprised how identified the reader became with Miles. And I think the reason is that he is Miles. I mean, not really, you know, but I mean, I think much of his thoughts. And so you're surprised that the readers would empathize with him so much. And that always amazed me, but that's very interesting. And I think all of his main characters, Simon, you know, probably when John did get older. Oh, I think Frank Keeley and North of Hope. I think so many of them, at least the basis, I suppose the personality, if you like,
right,
is John.
So tell us a little bit about what kind of a man John Hassler was. Was he surprised that he had touched so many people in,
oh,
in the
reading?
Oh,
incredibly so. I mean, oh, yeah, he was amazing. And people, I mean, this just touched him astonishingly that he would get letters from people. And he would hear that the last book someone had read was one of John's before that person died. And someone would write. And so many are in extreme pain from an illness, and they would write him. I mean, they were very, very moving letters. I mean, his letters were just astonishing. From his readers.
Right.
And the readers knew they could write him and tell him that he would be receptive to hearing that. But because when you read him, you know him. And there's a bond. So many writers, so many authors you can read, you don't feel connection. I mean, you may like the book, but not a But I think that's really John's, one of his true gifts, is that the reader, who could be wherever he or she is, has a bond and an attachment to him.
You talked about that John wrote about ordinary people. So if you can separate yourself as being friends from John, how do we describe John's writing style? How would you describe it?
Well, it's well constructed. I think he Evelyn Waugh, the British author, was one of his models, and he really worked on it. I mean, I think his revisions, he would revise and revise. And that was good. In fact, for Stagerford, he started writing, and it was just, he went on and on, you know, for the first chapter. And he realized it was just bad. He was going to turn. So anyway, he put it aside. Months later, he took it out, and he was reading. And almost at the end of the whole first chapter, the word that stuck to his mind, Miles yawned. I think first hour, Miles yawned. Then he thought, there it was. He was writing about things he didn't really know about. Teaching is what he knew about. And so he talked to, you know, the teacher. I mean, they weren't all teachers, but so he knew his subject. And I think that was part of it. And so I think that he tried to be accurate and he tried to be fair to his characters. I mean, even the ones that I wasn't wild about, he could see why they became that way. He really peopled his novels with ones that, with characters that you could understand. And someone said that he was really a beneficent creator, I think, something like that. And that all of his people, he showed their imperfections, but he also showed their virtues. And he's an author that really loved his characters. And I think that comes through in his writing.
Okay, that's great. I thought maybe we will have both of you now. Let's talk about... So I'm joined in the studio by Joe Plutt. He's author of Conversations with John Hassler. Also Larry Kellerman, librarian from Central Lakes College Library that is now called...
The John Hassler Library.
I hear, Larry, that this was your idea.
Somewhere back with some influence, of course, from Joe Plutt, we come around to that, and we presented it to the administration, and of course... In the community college system or in the new MNSCU system, which is the umbrella for us, there used to be a big challenge in naming various entities on campus and so forth. It's been somewhat more relaxed, and you only need the blessing of the local administration and so forth. And, of course, President Larry Lundblad, who's at Central Lakes College now, was very receptive to the naming of the library. And I want to go back to one of the things Joe was just talking about. And John didn't always publish everything that he wrote. And I think Joe relates to it somewhere when he talks about one of John's early stories was a story worth telling that he simply shelved and he never told. It came out in various fashions and other times.
I don't think it came out at all. No, okay. I've never read it. I think that must have been in the wastebasket.
So, but again, I came on staff while John was still an instructor at the college. I came in 76, and John was teaching at that time. And then he had a sabbatical, at which time he went out to start writing his very first novel. And then I come back, and I can picture him in his office, and as Joe was talking about, when did he write and when did he have time for that and also teach? Many times he had a windowed office, as I look out today and see the snowy forefront. You'd come to his office and knock, and he'd be staring out the window, and you knew he was pondering development of a character or a plot or whatever, very deep in that type of a process. I would describe John as a very quiet, very humble type of person who, while he got letters, was always amazed and surprised that people would write to him, because one of the things he hated the most was actually publicizing his own works and acknowledging how well he was done. And I think that was a struggle with his publishers quite often, to get him out on the road to do the promotion. Fortunately, there are people like Joe who love promoting him, and this is kind of a renaissance following John's death.
And I do want to say that it's very funny. We really were an odd couple in temperament, obviously. And so it's very funny, in fact. There was a class that is one that he wrote about in Simon's Night, and Shirley Lance, and we both had Shirley Lance, and she knitted all the time. And, of course, John would always be very calm and deliberate, and Shirley Lance, her fictional name, did a great deal of knitting. And then her next class was with Joe Plutt. And she said, Mr. Plutt, Mr. Plutt. And I think all of her knitting was undone. So anyway, we were complete opposites. But I think that was really very good. That's why we were so close. And what was also nice is that John was published in, I think, August 1977 with Staggerford. And then I was the Mad Hugger in People magazine in July 1977. So we could share. We had sort of different careers were taking off. And so I think that was part. I mean, we could just say, well, look what happened. And then we would talk, and he doesn't get excited. In fact, when he told me that Robert Redford had bought the screen rights for The Love Hunter, I had to go home and take half of Valium. And that's in the book Conversations. So he always had me show his enthusiasm for him.
Was he okay with hugging you, though?
Oh my. Oh, right away. Yeah. So, and that amused him, too. And he even has a book in Good People. This is a nonfiction. And I'm in there, and he's talking about this gentleman who comes out of the library, and he said he was watching it, and of course, he walked into a hug. You know, and he said he looked very befuddled, and John was amused.
And there's another unpublished work where Joe is also identified in with a turn on his name. Go ahead, tell him how they twisted your name around in his writings.
I was in two books, the same character, and neither was published. One was Book of Brendan, and that was sort of the. Became both Grand Opening and North of Hope. And there was a Josiah Tulp, T-U-L-P, plus spelled backwards. And he was characterized as foaming with enthusiasm.
So John did use his friends in many ways. And I actually, many of the colleagues that John, Joe, and I had at the college would be quite often identifying various people on staff in bits and pieces of characters that were developed. And certainly when the community college went on strike in 1979, that shows up again in John's writing as well. So
Rookery Blues, especially about the strike.
So there's many familiar activities of life that John experienced that show up and are reflected in his novels.